Deuteronomy chapter 23, we'll read verses 1 through 25, the whole chapter. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, these are the words of the Lord, and so believe what they say, what He says, and obey it accordingly. He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. One of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever. Because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt. And because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. But the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you. Because the Lord your God loves you. You shall not seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days forever. You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you are an alien in his land. The children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of the Lord. When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourself from every wicked thing. If there is any man among you who becomes unclean by some occurrence in the night, then he shall go outside the camp. He shall not come inside the camp. But it shall be when evening comes that he shall wash with water, and when the sun sets, he may come into the camp. Also, you shall have a place outside the camp where you may go out, and you shall have an implement among your equipment. And when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover your refuse. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore your camp shall be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. You shall not give back to his master the slave who has escaped from his master to you. He may dwell with you in your midst, in the place which he chooses within one of your gates, where it seems best to him. You shall not oppress him. There shall be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel, or a perverted one of the sons of Israel. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food or anything that is lent out at interest. To a foreigner you may charge interest, but to your brother you shall not charge interest. That the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it shall be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. That which has gone from your lips you shall keep and perform, for you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. And those are God's words. The last chapter continuing from there is this exposition of the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verses 1 through 8 seeks for the preserving of the purity and honor of the families of Israel by excluding those who would bring sin and disgrace upon them. And through verse 14, preserving Israel when they were fighting battles in other places and other nations. And all this comes under that command to not be unequally yoked. And then the rest of the chapter is taken up in exposition of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And so sins of bringing in or hiring prostitutes for that not only breaking the seventh commandment, but the eighth also, forbidding the sin of usury, which is lending money with unreasonably high interest rates. And then vows should be kept. When we talk about in the Psalms, we sing the Psalms, pay your vows. This is what's talking about verses 21 through 23. Speaking of here of contracts, and yet applicable when we sing the Psalms, paying our vows, pay your contracts. Pay that that you've promised to do. Do what you've promised to do, right? You've taken vows, keep those vows, right? Membership vows, marriage vows, keep those. Be faithful to those vows in Christ. And then the rest of the passage, what liberty one may take in someone else's field, yet not stealing from them. And we see Jesus speak of this when the Pharisees attacked the disciples in Matthew 12, and the Pharisees attacked them because they were doing this on the Sabbath day. This law teaches us, though, instead of stealing or hoarding, really reminds us of a desire we as Christians should have in sharing what God has blessed us with, and also being hospitable would be another application. And so consider the eighth commandment today, along with the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery and thou shalt not steal. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise today for your word. Last week and here we've learned a little bit more about the seventh commandment. Father, we ask that you would purify our hearts. We see throughout, especially in the Pentateuch, the desire for your people to be holy, set apart, and clean. And we see the various laws that show that forth, that we ought not to be like the other nations, we ought not to be like the world. And of course, that those general things are still applied today to us. And so may we not be any here who, even perhaps seeking after it, we pray that none would be unequally yoked with unbelievers, not too close, not even in marriage, but also personal relationships. Father, we ask that you would keep us and provide for us those of your people to be around, that we might be iron sharpening iron and be those who are encouraging each other and building each other up in the faith. Father, we ask that you would also remind us of that sin of stealing and hear of charging interest rates or charging high interest rates and going in and trying to make money off of or using our money for sinful things. Father, we ask that you would rebuke us of such sin because we see here it is breaking the eighth commandment. Father, we ask that you would make us to be a people who are hospitable and sharing of that which you have given to us and blessed us with. As you have grown our property and estates, each of us, as we get older, this typically takes place, at least in our nation. Father, may we use that for the spread of the gospel. May we use that for being hospitable. May we use what you've provided to help others who are in need. Because otherwise, if we hoard those things, then we are stealing. And we're stealing what you've provided. You've provided these means to not only provide for ourselves, but to help others and to serve others, even in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, may we not be those who are found stealing what you've blessed us with. And then, Father, we ask that you would, in many ways, help us to keep all your commandments. We have sinned against you, and in thought, word, and deed, we've broken your commandments. Father, we plead that you would be gracious to us and merciful, and that you would forgive us of our sins. And we come confessing our sins, breaking the two greatest commandments, breaking the Ten Commandments in every way, in many ways. And so, Father, forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We know that you do this in Christ if we have believed in you, if we do believe in you, and that is your promise, that you cleanse us of our sins, even as far as the east is from the west, you make us who are stained and dirty, you make us as white as snow. And Father, we praise you for this, that though we are an undeserving people, that we actually deserve the pains of hell forever and damnation. You are the God who is merciful and gracious. You don't give us what we deserve, and you give us what we don't deserve. And that is your grace and your blessing and the many good things of your promises that you have already guaranteed us who are in Christ, even those things of eternity and glorification and being with you forever. Already ours, even resurrection, already ours in Christ, your Son. Father, we think of the many struggles that are going on in the world, or whether in wars or in viruses or any of these things. Father, we ask that you would protect your people. We know that these are ways of judging the world, and we ask that you would show forth your justice. And yet, for the few righteous who remain, we ask that you would protect your people, and you would keep them from such harm in body, and that you would preserve us, that we might proclaim the gospel, that we might warn others and tell them, look what's happening. You need to turn to Christ. And Father, we ask that you would make us bold proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling sinners to repent of their sins. Especially knowing of what your plans are for the future. Father, of the great ingathering of your elect. And then, Father, we pray for this morning, we pray for those in our congregation who are not doing well, feeling well. We pray for the Drakes. You'd heal their bodies, heal Patricia who's here and still struggling with her muscles and things like that. We ask that you'd be with Dina, who has very terrible pain in her shoulder blade area and her muscles, and ask that you would be with her and also her other health issues. We pray that you would also be with John Dang's cousin and his wife, who's in critical condition. We ask that you would heal and bring them to salvation in Christ Jesus if they are not already. Father, show mercy. We also pray for April Watson, and you would heal her. We're thankful that she is feeling better, doing better, and pray that you would heal her completely and provide everything needed for vehicles and everything that had been destroyed in the accident a couple weeks ago. Father, we are thankful that you're a God who heals our bodies, and you will heal our bodies. Maybe in this life, maybe in the next, but we praise you that you're a God who heals us, and you will heal your people, and we have faith in that. Father, now as we continue worshiping you, we give you praise as we look at how you answer prayer, and we've prayed for many years for more families. We praise you that you're answering our prayers still concerning that and in ways that we don't expect. And so we thank you for the Staver family and also the Gordetskis. We're thankful that as long as I can remember, we've never had a baptism in two consecutive Lord's Days. So we give you praise for this and your mercy and how you're growing your church and growing your church throughout the world. And as we think of the church, we ask that you would be with those congregations seeking pastors in Columbia and Denison and maybe Oklahoma City and other places, Father, in our denomination. We ask that you would provide and you would grant the preaching of the word to your people and that you would not hold that back from them. Father, again, turn us from our sins. Cause us now to hear you speak to us through your word and bless your people. Not because we deserve it, but because of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we ask that you would bless us, you would hear our prayers through him, and because of him, we pray in his name. Amen.